Folks, if you enjoy our guidance about the management trinity, getting to know your people, talking about performance, asking for more, pushing work down, and our tools are helpful, one-on-ones, feedback, coaching, and delegation. The ideal way to learn about implementing them is to come to one of our effective manager conferences. One day, we cover all of the major topics. You practice feedback, you practice coaching, you practice delegation. I can't tell you the number of times people have said to us, wow, I thought I understood the tools. And then when I had to practice, I realized I've taken it to another level. Come to the website, check out our conference schedule, see us all over the U.S. and in Europe and in Asia and in Australia. See you there.
Welcome to Manager Tools. Today's topic, feedback, part 3. Here we go. Now, tell me about step two. What's step two about?
Step two and three are really the heart of the model. And step two is where we describe what the direct did. Okay. Steps two and three together are you did this and here's the outcome. It's cause and effect, stimulus and response, behavior and outcome, action and result. That's all it is.
Okay. So step one might be, can I give you some feedback? Step two right. might be something like, hey, when you're angry or when you act like a jerk.
No, not when you're angry. Not when you act like a jerk. I'll come to that. You're talking about attitude as opposed to behavior, right?
Right. Okay. We're going to have to talk about that then.
Yeah. The whole attitude versus behavior thing is a $64,000 question for all managers. This is one of the single biggest failings for the typical manager in the world. Part of the reason they don't like feedback and they feel like it's a long discussion is because they were certain that when their direct Joe crossed his arms and rolled his eyes and said, I can't believe you think that will work to an internal customer. And they took the guy aside and said, you know, when you behave like a jerk like that, it screws us up. And the manager feels completely justified. And then the direct says, I wasn't a jerk. And now they're arguing. And the manager says, see, feedback stings. And we said, well, two things. One, that's not feedback. And two, I don't blame your direct for you. I mean, basically you called him a name. You said he was a jerk. Now, I'm not really against name calling particularly. I think there's a whole indignation industry in the world about, oh, you can't call me names. But as a general rule, if you tell someone they have a bad attitude, I mean, think about it. What do human beings say? What does every human being in the world say when you say in their language, you have a bad attitude? Easiest words in the world. No, I don't. The three easiest words in the world, right? No, I don't. And the reason they say that is not because they don't, because they know they behaved in a way that someone else could cause them to draw the conclusion they have a bad attitude. They feel justified, which is, by the way, a whole nother conversation, folks, but trust me, you don't want to get into why your people did what they did, because they always have a good reason. And all you have to do to prove that is ask yourself, when was the last time you intentionally set out to do something wrong? You didn't. And yet stuff you've done in the last month or year has turned out wrong. And so therefore your intent was good and the outcome was bad. So that's why directs always want to talk to you about why they did something. Of course, they're always innocent based on the why, but we don't pay people for why, folks. We pay for outcomes. Well, I meant to call him. I had a good attitude about calling him. I just didn't call him. Yeah. Okay. Calling him was the thing that would have led to the close in the offer, close in the order. And so without a call, all your attitude, all your intent is moot. That said, yeah, we want to separate attitude from behavior. We'll do that in a minute. The important thing is, these are my favorite two words in the model. If there are only two words, if you say your first question, folks, is, can I share something with you? Because you have a real problem with the word feedback. Well, that's fine. We'll roll our eyes a little bit because trust me, I've given 50,000 bits of feedback in my life. And I promise you, I've said the word feedback and people get over it and you get over it and it's no big deal. Any idea that feedback is a bad word is all in your head because I've done it thousands of times and it's just not a problem. Okay. But if you want to say, can I please share something with you? Or may we sit down and talk about a recent occurrence? If you want to be that formal about it, fine. Okay. I don't think you ought to ask to sit down. But anyway, step two, though, my favorite two words are the first two words of step two, which is when you. If you force yourself, if you gird yourself, if you challenge yourself to always say when you, after your direct says yes, it forces you then, the construct of the sentence is such that you're next going to talk about what they did. Or if you make a mistake, talk about their attitude. But that's, we'll talk about that in a minute. When you did whatever you did, and then you describe the actions that they took. Okay. If you say, I noticed, or I feel, or I think, you're off on the wrong track right in the beginning. You're making the feedback about your interpretation of what they did. You're not talking to them about your interpretation of what they did. You're talking to them about what they did. If there's a disagreement about what they did, then we recommend you just walk away. But the more you focus on behavior, the less disagreements there'll be, because they know what they did. Either they were early or they're late or whatever. And again, we'll define behavior in a minute. So when you forces you to talk about what they did. And by the way, go out to the internet sometimes and do some research on feedback. And what you'll discover, if you go do quasi-business stuff or social psychology stuff about talking to people about what they've done, you will discover an awful lot of models that say, I think, I feel. And it's a way, according to psychologists, social behavioralists, and so on, to minimize the damage that you're doing to another person. This is a really bad way to try to learn how to be an effective manager. Those models that you see out on the internet, even if they say they're good for business, were probably built in a psychological world, in a psychiatric world, in the behavioral sciences world, non-organizationally. And the reason they do that is because that kind of psychology, that kind of psychiatric or social intervention kind of feedback is based on what the entire principles of human psychology are, which is called aberrant behavior. In other words, psychologists look for people who are mentally ill or who have diseases or complexes that make them socially ineffective. Okay, that is not what we're doing when we give feedback to our directs. What we're doing is pointing out an action they took that we paid them for that caused an outcome that wasn't effective for the organization. We are not trying to avoid hurting their feelings because we're concerned about what their mental illness might be. Okay. The entirety of social psychology is built on that aberrant psychology model. And we're talking about organizational behavior, which is built on healthy psychology. If there is an adult who works for you who refuses to take politely delivered, professionally spoken feedback, and they say, you're picking on me, you need to fire that person. You need to find something else for them to do because that person is not a professional. Professionals, when it comes to the workplace, are a bit like scientists in that they follow the data. They pay attention to their behaviors and the outcomes. And when the outcomes are not effective to the organization has the legal right, it has the ability, it has the power to say to them, what you are doing is ineffective and we're going to withhold benefits from you. And by that, I mean, you can't get promoted here just because you say you did it the right way. If your boss says you're not doing it the way the organization works, because your boss speaks for the organization, you're not doing it the right way. If you say you're trying every day to be on time, but you can't be on time and your job requires you to be on time, the fact that you feel hurt by your boss when he says, hey, John, can I give you some feedback? And John says, sure. You say, you know, when you're late, I worry about you. Can you please be on time next week? And the direct goes off and says, I can't believe you're picking on me. When in fact, the boss makes it a habit to talk to anybody who's late. That direct, if he does it or she does it often enough, needs to leave the organization. This kind of information, feedback about performance against results, and one of the results, personal results, is timeliness. I overuse it, but it's a simple black and white one. Either you're on time or you're not. And then we don't have to argue about the example I'm using. That kind of inability to receive that kind of feedback makes someone who works for you not a professional. Now, we do expect you to deliver it politely and professionally, as I indicated in my tone. Hey, Mike, can I give some feedback? When you're late, I worry about you. That's not assault. That's not vicious. That's not attacking. And somebody who says they feel attacked doesn't get credit for being attacked. An inference does not mean an implication. Inference meaning you assuming something that I'm, you're assuming an intent on my part, and implication is what my intent is. Okay. Inference is not implication. Inference happens after the fact. Implication happens before the fact. Just because you infer that I'm attacking you doesn't mean that I'm actually attacking you. Simply that. It's the same thing as I'm poking you with an umbrella and you're getting upset all by yourself. If my poking you with an umbrella is saying I'm being polite and professional and I just want you to know that timeliness is important here and you're not being timely, that's completely reasonable. So social psychological models that say, I think, I feel, are particularly dangerous for managers, particularly when you learn it when you're learning positive feedback. Because the moment you go to negative feedback and you begin to feel a little bit more tension and you want to soften the blow by saying, I think, I feel, I notice, I heard, the direct then begins to make the problem you in terms of your inference about what he or she did. Whereas when you say, when you do X, and then follow up with, here's the outcome that I know occurred, whatever that outcome is, there's not a lot of argument there. Or they can argue, but they're going to lose that debate sooner or later. And frankly, if I had somebody who over 20 times in the course of 2 months push back every single time, I'd finally say to him after a couple of months, I'd say, I'm not giving you feedback. This is not feedback. I'm telling you, you're going to get a very low score at the in your end of year review. I'll be happy to go talk to HR about the way I deliver the feedback, what I said to you, what situation occurred, how I talked to you, the politeness of my voice. I'll be happy to have other people on the team write up notes that say, when Mark talks to me about my performance, when it's negative, he's very polite, he's very professional, and he asks me to change it. There's no assault, there's no threat, there's no victimization, anything like that. And I'll win. And you're not going to work here anymore because you're going to get a review that says you're not a good team player, you're not a professional, you're not interested in growth, because when you get information about how your behaviors are not effective, you ignore it and you get emotional. And there's no place for those kind of emotions or the kind of words you throw at me or the attacks you made on me simply because I ask you to change your behavior when your behavior is ineffective. You know, if a sales rep doesn't meet his quota and the manager says every week, when you don't meet your weekly quota, it makes it hard for you to meet your monthly quota. What can you do differently? Well, next week I'll do better. Okay, great. Week two goes by. Hey, when you don't meet your weekly quota, it makes it really hard to meet your monthly. Can you do better? Sure. Right? If we do this for 8 or 9 or 10 weeks, and maybe I could step in and say, here are some things you can do differently. But if there's no change in behavior, we should fire this person. Because they're not doing what they're supposed to do, and their role is important enough in the organization that other people rely on them doing their role in order for them to have job security. So step two is about describing people's behavior. My favorite two words are when you. It forces you as a manager. When you say when you, I love that, when you say when you, it causes you to immediately talk about what the direct did. Okay? We don't talk about their motivation. We don't talk about what they intended to do. We talk about what they actually did. And this is your point about attitude versus behavior, right? This is the angry part, the comment you were making a minute ago.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, before I went on my long discussion. Yeah. Sorry. I got to make that point. I mean, too many people don't realize the power of that when you. And by the way, as a boss, I get to say you did X and here's the outcome. Now, we can have an argument about whether or not you did what you did. But if we focus on behavior, and that's the beauty of the manager tools feedback model, if we focus on behavior, nobody's going to argue with you. No one will argue with you when you stick to behavior and you follow the model delivered politely and professionally. Okay? So step two, when you do X is the way I say it at the conference. And I make people at the conference repeat it 100 times just so they get it in their head, when you do X. And this is where I do the Pledge of Allegiance thing. And I say, you know, when you, I pledge of allegiance to the flag. I pledge allegiance to the flag. Okay. So now let's talk about attitude versus behavior. And the easiest way to address attitude for a behavior is you made a point about angry. Okay. Angry is an emotion. It is not a behavior.
Well, but when I see somebody's angry, I mean, I can see somebody who's,
you know,
angry, and I know immediately he's angry.
Yeah. You can watch somebody in a meeting in 30 seconds. And if somebody's angry in a meeting, everybody will come out of the meeting and go, man, that guy was angry.
There you go.
That's true. That's a true statement. But just because it's true doesn't mean it's effective. If you tell a direct they're angry, they know intuitively that you're talking about their emotional state, their mental state, what they were thinking, what they were feeling, neither of which you have proof of, and they know they can defend by saying, I wasn't angry. I was simply being righteously clear, right? I was being passionate. You're passionate sometimes, Mark. I was just being passionate. I wasn't angry. And now we're in a losing battle.
Yeah. There's no feedback happening now.
Right.
There's no behavior changing. That's for sure.
Exactly. Yeah, exactly. And you know, there's no feedback. And so therefore, there's no behavior change. You got it exactly right. And so what we have to learn to do is not talk about attitude, not talk about motivation, not talk about intent. The only thing we talk about in step two is what the direct did, what their behavior was. Okay. And there are five behaviors. And folks, I rarely do this. Of course, these will be in the show notes. But I rarely do this. You've absolutely got to write them down. And the five are the words you say. And I'll run through this twice, folks. How you say those words, your facial expressions, your body language, and lastly, your work product. I'm going to run through them again, and then I'm going to go through work product in more detail. First of all, words you say, okay? There's a difference between saying, yes, I can do it, or no. I mean, there's a big difference. Or saying, I will, as opposed to, I think I will. Those are different phrases. You may mean the same thing, but they come across differently. They mean different things to different people, okay? If I ask you a yes or no question, and your first word is well, that's not yes or no. That's verifiable on the videotape, okay? Next, how you say those words. This is the tonal inflection, the speed, the loudness, the quietness. There's a big difference between I think I can and I think I can, or I think I can, or I think I can. Michael Swinson, our good friend, does a great thing that I think he learned from Covey. He may have learned it from Carnegie, or it may be his own. There's a phrase that is so perfect to teach this with, and the phrase is, darn it, I'm blanking on it. I didn't say you had an attitude problem, okay? First of all, the way Michael does it is he says, he just gives a flat reading of the statement. I didn't say you had an attitude problem, okay? Well, if I say that differently, there is different meanings based on how I say the words. For instance, I'll give you three different meanings. I didn't say you had an attitude problem.
What does that mean? Somebody else said it, right?
Exactly, right. Yeah, you're accusing me, but I actually didn't say that. I agreed with it, maybe. I know that underneath my breath, but I'm not going to tell you that. I'm just going to say, I didn't say you had an attitude problem. Or another one, I didn't say you had an attitude problem.
Yeah, but you were thinking it.
Yeah, or you implied it, right? You talked all around it, and it was very clear that's what you meant. Or, last one, I didn't say you had an attitude problem.
You said I had a different problem. Hey, thanks.
A different kind of problem. Exactly, right. Yeah, and this is where you have to be careful about paying attention to what people say and then how they say it. There's a big difference. If you ask me a question and I go, no way, that's different. That's incredulous. I can't even believe you asked me. If you're asking me whether I can do something, I say, no way. Then that comes across as a belligerent denial of your request. Well, they're the same words. They're just said differently.
There you go.
So the words people say and how they say those words matters. And in both words you say and how you say them. And in fact, the next two four out of the five, words, how you say them, facial expression, body language, will all be visible on a videotape. Now, anger is visible on a videotape, but only as an inference of the words people say, how they say them, their facial expressions, and their body language. When people tell me, oh, Mark, he was angry, and so I had to talk to him about his anger, I said, well, you're going to fail because he's going to say he wasn't angry. He says, Mark, well, he was angry. I said, I know he was angry. I agree he was angry, but you can't win that argument. You can say, however, when you cross your arms and roll your eyes and say, that's the stupidest thing I've ever heard, we draw the conclusion you're angry, or the customer doesn't like it. You take it out of his realm of defense, because if I say, when you're angry at the client, they don't like it, and you say, well, I wasn't angry, and then I lose, as opposed to saying, when you cross your arms and roll your eyes and tell the client that's the dumbest thing you've ever heard, the client doesn't like it. Now, he can say, well, I really wasn't angry. Dude, I don't care whether you're angry or not. How you feel is really your business. I'm worried about your behavior, which is what we pay you for, which is aggregated into results, which ends up being your performance, and you did say I can't believe you think that'll work, or that's the stupidest thing I ever heard. And you did cross your arms and you did roll your eyes. And I watched the client, and the client, in fact, did get upset.
I like anger as an example here because, you know, a lot of people will say, I've heard people in HR say, well, you're not allowed to be angry at work. Well, okay, folks.
I love this. Like, yes.
Yeah. You know, I get angry at work. Mark gets angry at work. We all get angry at work. The issue is not whether you're angry or not. The issue is, do you express it? Do you exhibit behavior? Yes. If you're angry inside and you're smiling and you're being agreeable, who cares?
Right.
I don't care if you're angry. I just care how you express that.
Yeah. You know what's funny about that is it takes some professional maturity for people to understand that distinction, right? And when I'm having to coach somebody who is behaving that way, I say, hey, look, hasn't there been a time when you've been angry and you've chosen to not act on it? She says, yeah, okay. So I expect that all the time, right? And they're like, oh, okay. I said, so if you engage in behavior that I determine is angry, I'm going to talk to you about that behavior. Because if I think you're angry, other people will think it. And anger in the workplace isn't helpful. Expressed anger, right? So we mentioned work product and we didn't define it, okay? What is work product? Work product is the quantity of your work. That is behavior, okay? You could probably break it down into specific actions, but generally, the amount of work you do is a form of professional behavior. You can give feedback about how much stuff somebody did. The quality of someone's work, whether or not it meets some standard, that's also behavior in the workplace. The accuracy of your work, whether or not it meets the standard, how often it meets the standard, or whether or not there's a particular metric and how you compare to that metric. Whether or not you follow the rules, if you will, is another example of accuracy. Okay. The timeliness of your work. There are deadlines. If you don't meet the deadline, that's an example of a behavior. Failing to meet a deadline, it's not words you say, it's not how you say them, it's not your facial expressions, it's not your body language. It is a form of work product, the timeliness of your work. If you're late, that's a behavior. When you miss the deadline, that's a behavior, because timeliness is a behavior. I have to come looking for this stuff and it takes me time. Okay. That's step three. Sorry. That was step two and three together. That was behavior and outcome together. Also, all of the documents you produce for work, everything, every email, every report, every spreadsheet, every PowerPoint, that's all work product. I had a manager once at a conference a couple of years ago, Mike. You may have been there. I think we had a good laugh. He said, I got to tell you, I'm so glad you put the documents thing, because I was trying to figure out how to give a guy feedback about his facial expressions or his body language about the PowerPoint he created. And I just couldn't figure it out. I'm like, well, you could watch him type it and see that he was grimacing. No, you wouldn't do that. Okay. The documents, emails, PowerPoints, spreadsheets, Word documents, anything at all. Okay. And then finally, believe it or not, your relationships are a work product. The fact is, organizations, folks, exist to allow the specialization of labor. The reason companies are formed is because 10 people in a company can do more than one person can in 10 different roles. The great example is this, if this is The Invisible Hand by Adam Smith, talking about how many more pins, literal straight pins, P-I-N-S, how many more pins a small pin-making company can make than individual artisans crafting each of the pins. It's literally like 40,000 to 10 in a day. It's phenomenal the kind of economies of scale you get when you have specialization of labor. The downside of that is human beings tend to chafe up against one another when they work together, because the definition of conflict is two human beings in the same county. So therefore, your relationships with other people, because your work has to be combined with other people's work in order to be turned into a product that a customer will buy, you are obligated to behave in ways that are helpful to relationships. And if you don't, that's work product. Or if you do, that's also work product. For instance, if you're in sales and you have a bad relationship with a customer service person, I can give you feedback about that. Now, probably I would talk more specifically about the number of emails you sent or the number of phone calls or the tone of voice I heard you take on a voicemail that customer service person played for me, right? I'll remember very clearly a salesperson saying to me, you can't get me fired. I'm the number one salesperson around here. And I said, I'm going to play one voicemail from customer service to the GM. Okay. I'm going to pick it. As long as you believe that I can't get you fired, and frankly, I don't want to get you fired. I want you to continue selling and change your behavior as it relates to people in the organization. I said, as long as you're comfortable with me playing any voicemail I can find in customer service that's been saved, because I promise you, the good ones and the bad ones, they save them over there, okay? And they know you're coming. They know your phone number, and that's why it rings longer when you call in, because they don't like you. As long as you're okay with me playing any phone message that you've left for one of the reps over there in front of the GM, in front of other people, then okay, fine. You can behave the way you want. He says, well, which message? I said, are you worried? He says, no. I said, well, good, then it shouldn't bother you. No. I want to hear the message. Oh, no. No, the deal is I'm going to pick one and I'm going to play it for the GM. As long as you're okay with that, as long as you're certain that no matter what you said to a rep is going to be defensible to the GM because the GM loves your sales, you're good. He said, no, I want to listen. I said, I'm not giving you the choice. I'm going to go play it for the GM. He called me like 5 times as I was walking over customer service. Finally, I called him from customer service and said, do you want to come listen? And he said, yeah, I'd like to come listen because I've got one. I've got several, but I'm going to play one for you. And then you decide what you want to do. And to his credit, he heard it. And he says, I'll go apologize to the GM. I said, no. You apologize to this rep right over here, the customer service rep who you had that conversation with. He says, oh, I don't think I can do that. I said, nope, then I'm playing it for the GM. And he apologized to that rep who didn't really believe him, but he apologized, I thought sincerely. And then he apologized to the GM. GM said, last chance, treat my people like that again, you're gone. 2 years later, I didn't hear of any other instances. So
good.
Yeah, it was a good one. Okay. So relationships matter. Now, in this particular case, there were words he said and how he said them that mattered as well. And that probably would have been easier. But if you have a bad relationship with somebody that you need to have a good relationship with based on the kind of outcomes a relationship is getting, then that's work product. So those are the work product issues. Quality, quantity, accuracy, timeliness, documents, and relationships. So how does it sound? How does step two sound? When you're late 4 times in a week, actually, that's a bad one. That's an advanced class. When you're late, the way you were this morning. When you stay an extra hour after hours to find out what the problem is. When you make an extra phone call to keep the customer informed. When you promise it to me today, but you don't deliver it until late. You know, you promise it to me yesterday and you don't deliver it until today. When you say you're going to meet your number and then you don't. When you tell me the problem is with the vendor, when in fact there's an email that you sent saying you made a mistake. When you don't admit you made a mistake, when you and I both know it in advance of the meeting, those are all behaviors. When your report is on time, when you stay under budget, when you're ahead of schedule, when you're green on all your tasks, those are all behaviors. Green would be work product, by the way. I think that would be accuracy and timeliness together. Green being a vernacular, an aphorism, if you will, for accuracy and timeliness.
All right. Green on a project is all sorts of good things all wrapped up in one.
It's yeah, it's
just
all
a perfect little bundle of goodness.
Really. Yeah, it is. It is. It's just like, yeah, it's the gift that keeps on giving. Yeah, I love it. So that's step two. When you do X and you focus on a specific behavior, and you deliver it in the same tone of voice, whether it's good or bad. Hey, when you're late, or hey, when you're early, or hey, when you miss a deliverable, or hey, when you go the extra mile and deliver another, you actually get ahead of schedule, or when you help somebody else with their deliverable so they can meet their schedule.
Thanks, everyone. That's it for part 3. We'll conclude with part 4 next week. In the meantime, have a great one.